Good to be with you this morning. If you have your Bibles, would you turn with me to Romans chapter 8 is where I want to begin this morning. And I think it'll be up on the screen as well if you don't have your Bibles with you. One thing about breaking in a new Bible, the pages don't flip as easily as an old Bible. Romans 8, beginning at verse... Do I have that up on the screen, Bob, or not? What was that? No? 8. If I don't, that's okay. You can listen. Beginning at the first verse and then skipping down to the 31st verse and on. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Here's the Bible again, not working for me. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, including failure, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is God's word to us this morning. Let's just pause in prayer. Father, as I begin this time, would your Holy Spirit grant to me the words to share, the attitudes to express, and would he take what I have prepared and use it to speak to the hearts and minds of these, your people whom you love. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to show you a picture. Anybody know who that is? Any guesses? That's my dad. This is not going well. We're free to fail, right? That's my dad when he was about 24 or 25 years old. That was taken in Germany before he came to Canada in the late 40s. Pretty good looking guy, I think. My dad taught me a lot of things. One of the things he taught me is that we should be free to try new things. When he first came to Canada, one of the purchases that he made once he was married was an old car. Now you know where I get it from. The car needed a complete engine rebuild. So he convinced my mother to shell out about $100 or $150 for whatever it was for the rebuild kit during that time. And that was a lot of money in the late 40s, early 50s. And Dad went about rebuilding the engine of that old Ford. He got it all together. He was so proud. He got it running. He was even prouder. And then the thing seized up and blew up like you wouldn't believe. That was my dad. I don't think my mom has forgiven him for that yet. She is still waiting for that $100 to somehow reappear. But Dad was that kind of a guy. He always said to me, you should be free to try things. And if you fail, so what? you can always get somebody to do it the right way or to fix your mistakes. And that's how he lived. And on a farm, that's a good way to live because he had more successes than failures. When we built a new greenhouse, the structure had to be all welded together. And so Dad went out and priced what it would cost to weld that all together. And he was astonished at what he would have to pay. So he went out and he bought himself a welder. And he learned to weld. And he became very, very proficient at it. He welded that whole greenhouse together. And that came in very handy for me when I started tinkering with cars. Because Dad got so proficient with an arc welder, and you men will appreciate this, that he could weld a muffler steel, which is very thin, with an arc welder. He was very good at it. And so he had more successes than failures because he was free to fail. He lived by that principle of trying things and learning things and developing skills and abilities that lay hidden and dormant. And we are going to be talking about failure this morning. Some of the failures that we experience come because we have made wrong choices or we have been disobedient to the way of God. Some failures are caused because we have sinful actions or sin in our lives. The Bible is filled with examples of men of God who failed because of sin and disobedience in their life. Take a look at, for example, the Apostle Peter. He denied Christ three times, even when Jesus had foretold that he would be in that position. He forgot. He, in a sense, went his own way. And he denied Christ three times. Have you ever done that? I think we have all somehow denied Christ. When we are given the opportunity to say a word of action or a kind thought or gesture in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have walked the other way, done our own thing, don't have time to do that, got more important things to do. That person will make up his or her own mind regardless of what we say. And if we are convicted by the Holy Spirit to come and say a few words of kindness to someone in the name of Christ, and we have walked away and turned away to the other disobedient way, then we too have denied Christ. Take a look at David. He committed adultery with Bathsheba, one of the big ones. And yet, we too fall into that category. We may not have physically committed adultery with someone, but perhaps we have in our heart and our mind had lustful thoughts and committed adultery in our hearts and in our minds and so have failed Christ. Oh, you say, I have no control over what I think. Oh, yes, you do. Yes, you do. Paul calls us to think about the good things in life. Kindness, purity, justice, the love that God has for us in Christ Jesus. There's a whole list of things in the New Testament that we are to think about and allow those thoughts to shape our minds and our actions. But at times we fail. And so we have committed adultery in our hearts and in our minds. How about Moses? I like Moses. I recognize myself in Moses a lot. But he was a disobedient to God, and he was a murderer. He killed an Egyptian. Oh, you say, I've never committed murder. Nope, I'm okay with that one. Really? What about in your heart and mind? You wish someone was dead, that they would no longer appear in your life and that you would no longer want to have anything to do with them, and you write them off. Isn't that somehow committing a murder? And how about Paul? The Apostle Paul, the great Apostle Paul, one of the greatest missionaries in the world. He persecuted believers. He went totally in the opposite direction that Christ wanted him to go. And yet he became one of the greatest missionaries of all time. And that's where our hope lies. Scripture says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, the beautiful thing about that is that God does not hold any grudges. As a matter of fact, Scripture says that God forgives our sin and he remembers it no more. That's a wonderful place to be. A wonderful place to be. Never will we be condemned. Never will we be judged by our wrongdoing if we have come to faith in Christ as our Lord and Savior, if we have confessed our sin and asked him to become Lord of our life. These great men of Scripture did that. Peter, who denied Christ, became one of the founding fathers of the early church because he repented and confessed that he had sinned. He turned away from that, and he became one of the founding fathers of the church through what Christ had done for him. David always blows me away. This man committed adultery with Bathsheba, and yet he became the writer of most of the Psalms. And how those Psalms have blessed us and blessed millions over the years. And it's because he confessed, repented, and came back to God and allowed God to do his work in and through him. And Scripture, and I think it's God himself who describes David as a man after my own heart. Wonderful that we can come and experience the full forgiveness and the abundant blessing of God, regardless of where we have been, regardless of what we have done, because God loves us. God loves us. And he's given himself to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christ wants to come and indwell in our bodies 24/7 and guide us and bring us direction and bring us comfort and bring us encouragement and bring us life itself. What about Moses? Moses is an interesting story. If you know the Old Testament story, Moses leading the Israelites out of Egypt, and he's so disobedient so many times, and yet God continues to use him, but he has to pay the price for his disobedience because God says, never will you enter the promised land because you have been disobedient. But what does God do? He gives them an extra blessing in spite of it because he takes Moses to a high mountain and he shows them the promised land and he says, this is where I'm going to lead your people. And he allows Moses to see what he is going to do. And then he is there with Moses when he dies. And Scripture says so. And I don't fully understand it, how it works, but it says that God buried Moses. So intimate was his relationship with God, in spite of where he had been, in spite of what he had done. Why? Because God loved Moses. And Paul. Paul became one of the greatest missionaries of all time. Paul was one of the greatest theologians of all time. And Paul was going in this direction. And through an experience that Paul had with God on the road of Damascus, he did a complete 180 and started going completely in a different direction. And he became one of the greatest, if not the greatest, missionaries of all time, founding churches and blessing them and encouraging them and teaching them. All because he confessed and repented and allowed God preeminence in his life. So what's the story there? Now, I'm not recommending that we fail because of sin, but what I'm saying is this. When we fail because of sin, the last chapter in our life story has not yet been written. There's more to life. And wherever you've been, whatever you've done, whatever you think is holding you from the past, don't let it. God has forgiven you if you've come to Him in repentance and faith. And God will bless you and prosper you in ways that you can't even imagine, Paul says in Ephesians. Now, at the end of this service, you're going to have the opportunity to come to the prayer rail. And this prayer rail is where you can do business with God. This prayer rail is where you can say to God, I have never invited you to become a permanent part of my life. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that He died for me personally and that all my sins, past, present, and future, will be wiped away and there will be no condemnation for me. Ever. This is the place you'll be able to do that at the end of the service. And if you are here this morning and have never come to repentance and faith in Christ, maybe today is the day you can settle that for eternity. And you'll never be sorry that you did. Never be sorry that you did. Not all failure, this is the second part, not all failure is caused by sin. Sometimes we just blow it. We live in an imperfect world, and we pay the cost for that at times. Not all failure is caused by sin. Situation and circumstance is one way in which we can fail. It's beyond our control. You plant a garden. You tend that garden. You cultivate that garden. You fertilize that garden. And yet the rains don't come. And instead of tomatoes, you get grapes. Instead of potatoes, you get chips. It just doesn't happen. It's not your fault. What do you do then? You beat yourself up to the point of saying, I have totally failed. I have lost it. I've really messed up. Or how about students and some of our other folk who are going back to school? You study real hard. You study real hard. And yet you still fail the physics exam or the math exam. Happened to me once. Well, happened to me many times. I was taking my undergraduate degree at the University of Windsor when I was teaching school, and I was registered in this one course. I can't even remember what it was now. But I was going to opt out of it, and I didn't opt out of it in time. And you know what happens then? You get a big fat F on your transcript. That big fat F on my transcript is still there. Do I care? Not in the least. No one, and I repeat, no one in any job interview I had has ever asked me about that big fat F on the transcript. It just doesn't matter. Okay? So sometimes we fail simply because of the fact of situation and circumstance. Or you apply for a job and the cousin of the boss gets it instead of you. You see, we live in an imperfect world. And sometimes we fail simply because of that. We've done the best we can. We've prayed about the situation. We've given it over to God, and yet we still somehow lose it or fail. Two words. So what? So what? You know, our society is so channeled towards productivity and success that we lose the real focus of who we are in Christ Jesus. Think about that for a minute. It's true. Who do we admire? The self-made man or woman who gets to the top? The one who's successful in business? The one who gets the trophy at the car show? Yeah. But really, and I say this reverently, what does it matter? Because if you take a hold of Scripture, Romans 8 and 28 says that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Sometimes we fail simply because we failed. It's nobody's fault. It's not yours. It's not mine. It's just, it happens. And if you think you can get through life without blowing it, without failing every now and then, wait till this coming week. It will happen sometime. It will happen sometime. But we shouldn't allow it to beat us up. As a matter of fact, Jesus promises us a tough time. In John 16:33, He says, in this world, you will have trouble. You will have trouble. You know, there's a false theology out there that says that somehow God separates us from the difficulties of life. That if you come to Christ, He will shield you from all trouble. Show me that in Scripture. It's just not there. In seminary, we used to call this, that's the gospel of health and wealth. You come to Christ and you'll always be healthy. You come to Christ and you'll have everything that you need as far as your finances are concerned. God's bigger than that. God is much bigger than that. And if we run away from the difficulties and the failures of life, even if they're not our fault, we're missing the opportunities that God has to show us what's really important to Him and what He wants us to learn and where He wants us to end up. My dad failing at rebuilding that old Ford, I should have known better it was a Ford, but anyway, we won't go there. My dad failing at rebuilding that old Ford not only taught him a tremendous lesson, but it also taught me a tremendous lesson. And I've passed that same lesson onto my son. And he is now experimenting and being free to fail at things. And we had this very discussion last week or the week before, and I said, Matt, go ahead and try. What's the worst that can happen? He said, you know, Dad, I think I'm going to do that. And by the way, he succeeded. He did a wonderful job. So how do we respond to this whole aspect of failure? And it's more than responding to failure. It's really responding, what is our attitude towards life? Towards life. How do we approach it? You know, do we tiptoe through the tulips? Or do we go head on stamping through life and expecting God to act and to move and to challenge us and to be with us right here in the present, teaching and encouraging and blessing and bringing us to perfection in Christ? You see, that's what's important. It's not the gospel of health and wealth. It's the gospel of growing in Christ and becoming the person that sin has destroyed in our life. God wants to restore all that and move us on to become the people of God, the people that make a difference in this world, that impact the world and that change the world for Him. You see, Jesus Christ is the answer to people's problems. And so often we shy away from that. So how do we respond? Well, I'm going to share some scripture with you. First portion of scripture is John 14 and 6, where Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. To be a success at life, to live beyond and over and above our failure, we need to live life Jesus' way. We need to come to Him as Lord and Savior and say, I can't do it without You. John in John 15 and 5, it says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Reality is found in Christ. And once we come to Him as Lord and Savior, we're free to experience all He has in store for us. I can't emphasize that enough. Secondly, John 10 and 10 says, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. When I think of that verse, I think so often we as individuals get stuck in a rut. Even more so when you're retired. Let me tell you about my morning. Get up, go to the washroom, brush my teeth, take my meds, go down, pour my coffee. Oh, wait a minute, I make the bed in there because Lynn usually gets up before I do. Pour my coffee, go have my devotions. Dog comes up, puts her head on my lap. I read and I pray. Except now we had to put our dog down a couple of weeks ago. Terrible thing. So that part of the rut is no longer there. But you catch yourself doing the same thing day after day after day. Have your cereal, turn on the weather channel, and get on with the day. And by then it's lunch. You know what I'm saying? But there's more to life than that, isn't there? I admire these old folks who are in their 80s and 90s and they go back to school. And I go, what are you doing? What are you doing? They've come to realize that life isn't over for them, that there's still more to experience. And more fun to have. And more time to laugh. We just kind of learn to laugh it off. It's just one little blip in life. And it shouldn't hold us back from experiencing life to the full. The third passage of Scripture that I want to share with you is Romans 6:23. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 6 and 23, and I think probably that is probably, in light of our discussion this morning, the most significant one. That we need to focus and live our lives in such a way that we keep one foot firmly planted in the present and another foot firmly planted in the eternal. That keeps things in balance. Keeps things in balance so that when we fail, whether it's because of sin or whether it's because of life situation or circumstance or whatever, we can say, but through God, I can come. And there's more to life than the present. There's also the eternal, where I will spend the majority of my life. And God is using what happens here to prepare me for this. And that helps me, at least, to get things together in such a way that I will remember that there's more to life than the present. Sometimes we try our hardest, and it still doesn't work. It was last November I decided to bake Lynn a cake. Surprises you, doesn't it? And I was going to make it a four-layer. You bet. I'm going to do it. So I bought the cake mix. And I went out and I bought 2 4 identical cake pans. And Lynn said to me, "We have those." I said, "But they're not as good as these, honey." And so I baked those, mixed up the ingredients, you know, ended up in the oven, checked to make sure it was perfectly done, and oh, they look great. So I pulled them out, put them on our island in the kitchen, and as I was tipping them over after they had cooled to start to layer them, the fourth one went right on the floor. That was the best three-layer cake I have ever made. So sometimes things happen. Okay? And that three-layer cake, which should have been a four-layer cake, for all intents and purposes, has absolutely nothing to do with the eternal. Does it? So why lose sleep over it? Mind you, I didn't. Life is tough. And there are times when it seems it's all over. And we seem that there is no hope. Or we feel that there is no hope. But for the believer, there's always hope. Always hope. So in summary, in regards to this whole aspect of being free to fail, how are we going to live life? Are we going to be a couch potato? Or are we going to fully participate? And when we fully participate, we take the risk of failure on. And that's perfectly okay. When I get to the end of life, and here's my dad's principles coming into play again, I would rather say I tried it and failed than saying I didn't try it. Couch potato or full participant in life? The second one, are we going to live life in perfection or simply obedience to Christ, the Jesus way? Perfection or obedience? God doesn't expect us to be perfect. He expects us to be obedient. And when we're obedient, that leads to perfection in Christ, not the other way around. And thirdly, what will be our focus? What will be our focus? Are we going to look at the temporary and allow the temporary to hold us back? Don't try anything. You might fail. Or are we going to look at the temporary with the eternal and say, God has great things planned for us, and He wants me to fully experience life in all that it has to offer so that He can use all of that to bring me to perfection in Christ? A few moments, the prayer rail is going to be open. I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward, and they're going to lead us. And I would encourage you, first and foremost, if you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, this may be the day that you can settle that for time and eternity. And secondly, if you're afraid of trying things and there's something in this coming week that you know is going to challenge you and that you're a little bit anxious and tied up in knots inside, why don't you come as well and give that over to God and allow Him to give you His peace. And whatever the situation is, this is the place, the prayer rails, where we can do business with God. Let's pray together. Father God, thank You for the hope that we always have in Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless us and encourage us and allow us to fully experience all of life in the fullness that only You can give. In Jesus' name, amen.